It's Miriam.
Good evening. Good afternoon.
Hello.
You're the first to arrive.
Oh, good. I was trying to mute myself so that I wouldn't make any noise.
Well, you're not making any noise because we're not starting yet, so
I'm having trouble figuring out how to get to, like, the class information to follow along.
Okay, so let me start you there. You know where the Revealed Wisdom page is?
Yeah. Yeah, and I went to the advanced. Yeah.
And you know, for this class, you go to the first row, which is on the right-hand column, and it's basically a list of all of the parashas.
Okay.
And then you go to Lech Lecha.
Okay.
That's right, near the top. And when Lech Lecha opens up, scroll down to 36. Well, 36A is where we are.
Oh, okay. That's easy. And for the reincarnation, is that in, I'll find it. I wanted to start the reincarnation, too.
Okay. The reincarnation class is in row 11, the second column from the left. I believe somebody else came on.
Yes, I did. No.
Okay. I'm muting.
Okay. Meryl and Miriam are on, so we're going to... Good evening.
Good evening.
Hello. Good evening.
So we will begin with Pasuk 460 in the Sulam commentary on the Zohar from Parasha Lech Lecha. And that's on section 36A on the Yeshem website. And we'll start with O L'Shem Yehud. L'Shem Yehud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte Bidhilu Urchimu Udhilu Udhilu Urchimu Le'akta L'Shem Yudhe Bavavhe V'Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah Mitzvah Vayhino Amadunai Elohinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kunenei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kunenehu. Pasuk 460. We all da kitiv hakashira diktiv ashira nalididi shira vaday. Deha ikre leolada dekar deha ikre yedid ad la ipok le alma. The translation. This is why it is written a song in the verse, how will I sing to my friend, and not a reproval. This is definitely a song because he is called to beget a male. His mention of my friend alludes to begetting a male, who is Isaac. The mochin of the left column of Bina, which the world is the world of the male. He was called a friend before he appeared in the world. My commentary. This pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. As a tzaddik, one is a friend to Hashem. I want to emphasize that I frequently, almost always, write that the verse is clear as written, or with Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the verse is clear as written. What I'm really saying there is that the translation is in English. And if you understand the the language of the translation, it becomes clear. But it doesn't mean that you really understand it. It just means that you're reading or hearing the English translation, and those words are understandable. But the meaning of those words from the Zohar can go quite deep. And that I'm not really saying that every verse is clear as written. I'm trying to just express the fact that there's no overt questions from the English translations per se. Questions, comments, thoughts? I'm not sure who all is on. I know Miriam and Merrill are on. And I've heard, I think, two others. Good evening. I hope you had a wonderful trip with your grandson. Great-grandson, I'm sorry.
I did. Right. Yes. I did.
So, does anybody have any questions or comments? Go ahead, Tommy.
You know me, I could have. But I hate, you know, I kind of hate to talk about it. I remember a long time ago, several years ago, one of the verses for the year was the year that you moved to Atlanta. So if you remember that year, it was a scripture, I think, in Isaiah. And your face shall behold your teacher. And I thought that you were going to travel down to Louisiana, and I was going to get to see my teacher. And then I happened to, and little prayer book, the Siddur that we were using, which was the intermediate that had it for 10 years, but they hadn't gone to the latest Reform prayer book, which had been out for about 10 years. And I happened to notice in the second prayer service, you know, how scriptures jump out at you or phrases jump out at you. Well, that particular service, the idea of Hashem being your friend is what jumped out at me in that little gray door. And then I began to, you know, things began to fall into place, and it was the idea when you saw Hashem face to face, he was considered your friend. I don't know, it's just a revelation, and to me personally. And so now that's what comes to my mind. But see, it, with your comment, that Zadokim is a friend, I don't consider myself a Zadokim. So maybe it's, maybe I'm on the road.
Well, we're all on the road. We're all on different parts of the road. But kind of let me give you some background from other parts of the Zohar. Who runs the world is a question that everybody asks at one time or another in their life. And the traditional answer is Hashem runs the world. But then if Hashem runs the world, then all of the chaos is his responsibility. And that's not true. The chaos comes from our own actions and accepting the responsibility of our own actions. So then we get back to who's running the world. And elsewhere in the Zohar, I don't remember which parasha, but it says specifically that Hashem has appointed watchers. And in the Sefer Yetzirah, the watchers are referred to as the Tali. And they're essentially I'm looking for the word that will describe it. They're basically leathered skinned or snake skinned reptiles that walk, that stand up. And they are one of the 10 races of angels. But what are these races of angels? Some people, some of the Kabbalists, are, when they describe the inner earth, they also describe that elsewhere in different dimensions, there are these different races of beings that when they come into our world, or they're given responsibility by Hashem, we call them angels. We call them messengers because they are messengers from Hashem. But what the Zohar says is the watchers, which is have the responsibility to make sure that the human beings do not destroy themselves, like with an atom or the hydrogen bomb, that we do not destroy ourselves and we continue to progress down the path of the plan of creation. That is the responsibility of the watchers. But as people become righteous, become tzaddik and tzaddeket, they are given responsibility to work with the watchers. So the watchers cannot make the determination by themselves. They need to request direction from the righteous, from the tzaddikim, or the tzaddiket. I don't know what the plural is for female tzaddik. So with that understanding, what this verse is saying to us, Isaac was identified as a friend of Hashem prior to his being born into the physical world. And as we discussed Saturday night in the parasha of Vayishlach, the idea that Abraham begets or is the grandfather, Isaac is the father, and Jacob is the grandson. And we understand what the Zohar is saying as in Vayitzeh, is that Jacob is between Abraham and Isaac. And the ultimate goal is something that I have been teaching for a number of years, and that's what Tana was referring to somewhat, is that the purpose of creation is for humankind, human species, to grow to a level of maturity where the species can be a friend to Hashem. And as individuals of the human species become righteous, become tzaddikim, they become friends. The ultimate friend is the soul of each of the vessel of all human beings, the soul of all human beings that has reached maturity, has reached the level of tzaddikim, we become friends of Hashem. And if this is the second of the 7,000 year periods, as is taught by many of the Kabbalists, then there are certain people that became righteous, became tzaddikim during the wars of Atlantis and Nur, the Pacific continent and the Atlantic continent. And during that war, there were people who became righteous before the world restored itself. And Adam was created, our Adam, in our 7,000-year period. But the entities from that first 7,000-year period their souls are put into the planets and into the stars, and they are utilized as messengers of Hashem, directing the astrological energies. And all of that that I've taken so much time describing is culminated in this verse saying, the purpose of creation is the plan of creation, is to have the human species become mature enough to be a friend to Hashem. And I hope I didn't get too convoluted and too crazy in what I was saying, because that's just one set of opinions of the various Kabbalists, and there are others who disagree. And welcome to the mud, because everything is clear as mud to everyone. I'm making a joke because people aren't responding.
Well, we've known the essence of Hashem in different roles as our teacher, as our redeemer. And I think I mentioned to you, I think Hosea, your husband, I mean, just, and in Song of Songs, your mother, your sister, you know, we had all these relationship type connections to Hashem to help us understand. I know for me, I don't think I had thought of Hashem as my friend, and that was an eye-opener for me. Whereas I also felt your certainty, because if you knew you really had a special friend that you knew you could count on, that would come to your rescue when you needed it, all the things that we see in the roles of the patriarchs, you know, the stories that we read of their lives, as well as the matriarchs and, you know, all the biblical characters that teach us so much. It's just another, to me, a revelation of another way of looking at helping you build your certainty, because you can see Hashem on a human level.
Correct.
I have a
Seeing. Go ahead, Miriam.
I just have a strange question. When the Watchers appear, not in the other dimensions, but in the three-dimensional manifest world, that's kind of what I call it, you know, the three dimensions of space that our five senses make up this illusionary story, so that we can feel like we're going
to even
though we're not.
It's easier to just say the physical world.
Should I say that? But
yeah.
It's not physical
to
me. I'm
the physical world.
I'm doctors. It's not physical
to
me. It doesn't feel physical. I'm out of place here. I don't know if you can tell. Do they see the same thing? Because, and if why are some people terrified of seeing the same thing that somebody else will see who feels perfectly comfortable with and make up stories? So, okay, I'm asking too many questions. I'll just go back to the one.
No, you're not.
Will the Watchers appear in the physical world, which isn't, they don't actually come all the way into the physical world, but they touch you in the physical world, sort of. Do they appear the same to everybody who sees them? That's the question.
When they enter the physical world, the three-dimensional space that we occupy, the dimension that we occupy, they must take on the appearance. They must take on the appearance of that dimension. When they appear, or when we appear, Because if we are meditating, our minds are traveling, and some people unfortunately take their bodies with them, but it's not recommended to do that. But our right. consciousness goes into their dimensions, and we will meet and greet and communicate. We must take on the physical structures, the physical appearance of their dimension, just as they must take on the physical appearance of our dimension.
Okay. Good enough for now.
So the reason that the Zohar describes them as the leopard-like, a snake-like skin of people who, you know, of humanoids that stand and walk and talk, it's because the people of that righteous level have been able to travel to their dimension, and that's how they are presented. That's how they see them in their own dimension. Whereas
right.
when they're in this dimension, they will be seen as a human being, or maybe a rock, or maybe an animal, but they must take on some garment that we recognize from our world.
So I guess my question is, when they come into the physical dimension, do they come looking the same to everybody who sees them in the three-dimensional world? But it's almost like
yes.
not quite. Okay, so everybody's going to see the same thing. And you don't necessarily have to be righteous.
It's not necessarily, because I can see them one way and you will see them another way, because we don't see people, physical human beings, we don't see them the same way. Physically, I might see your husband, but I don't relate to your husband the same way you do. And so you see something different in your husband or about your husband than I do. And I've never met your husband, so I can make that statement. But I'm trying to get across to you that
right.
nobody sees another sight the same way. We perceive things differently. We've been talking in other places. Let me finish this one thought.
Okay.
That we've been talking in other places that you can have a glass that's half full, or you can have a glass that's half empty, but there's a third choice. The glass is half. It just is half. We don't have to perceive it as either full or empty. But each of us will perceive it the way we're going to perceive it. And that's based on all of our backgrounds, all of our what we learned as children all the way through to today. I'm complete, so if you want to keep asking questions, please do so.
Just one more. There's on the same note. There's some types of entities that come from one dimension into this dimension. I don't know if they're coming all the way in or not. And several different people, kind of like the UFO phenomenon, people will see very much the same thing, maybe same but different, but some same identifying
Some people see them as what they call grays, and some people see them as what they call blues, and different.
Right, you have the hat man,
shapes.
And you know, like the tall hat
right.
man that appears to people.
Right.
And so.
And some people see them as unicorns. Some people see them as unicorns. Some people see them as centaurs. All of the mythical personalities, or the mythical beasts, or the mythical gods all of those are related in the Zohar in different sections, describing different levels of angels or demons.
Oh. So you have to know biblical Hebrew in order to really understand all that. Like which is which?
No, you have to know the various dialects of Aramaic. Because the Aramaic that's written in the Talmud is not the same as the Aramaic that's written in the Zohar. There are different dialects, is the way I describe it. I haven't heard anybody else describe it that way. But you have different definitions of the same word in the different books, and you need to understand the definitions. But you don't have to learn biblical Hebrew or biblical Aramaic to understand that, because it's been translated. But every time you translate it, you're lessening the energy, you're lessening the impact. And you many times you need to go directly into what are the letters of a particular word telling us. And that you can do just by listening to our classes on the Hebrew letters. So you don't have to know the Hebrew, biblical Hebrew per se. You do need to understand the energy essence of each letter.
Okay, where is there a list of all of the types of angels and their arrangements and all of the types of demons and their arrangements? I need to study that.
Well, they're in two different locations, because the angels are not listed in the same place the demons are. And I don't recommend you start looking for the demons, because they'll find you often enough.
Right. Yeah, that's true. It's no fun casting them out when you don't know what you're doing.
But the main person who identified the 10 levels of angels is Rashi, and also Maimonides. So both many of their books have been translated into English, and you can find it by searching within those two people's writings.
Okay. I'm sorry for picking up.
Somewhere on my classes, somewhere on my handouts, I have listed the 10 different angels, and I know I've done so in my weekly emails, but I don't remember where and which parasha.
Okay, and those have the watchers in them. Okay.
Yes, the watchers are the Malchut level.
I'm confused about the watchers. Like, they really got a bad name for themselves, and I'm not sure that that's all 100%. Right. I mean, I know that maybe some made. I know that's a whole nother. That's a whole nother topic.
Well, it is and it isn't. So let me explain. The reason the Watchers have a bad name is because if a human being wants to do something, let's say there was a human being, God forbid, who wants to use a hydrogen block bomb to start a third world war, and if they did that action, the world powers would go to war, and the world would be destroyed. All of humanity would be destroyed. Let's say there was somebody in the world who wanted to do that. Well, as far as that person is concerned, the Watchers are stopping them from doing that. And therefore, they're doing something bad relative to that person. But in reality, relative to the plan of creation, they're doing what is necessary to keep humanity moving forward in its development and maturation process. So
they're not the ones that came down and...
Yeah.
They're not the ones.
Yeah, Yeah, throughout the Bible, you'll see various levels of angels that are described. The angel of Isaac, the fear of Isaac is a phrase from the parasha of Toldot. Even in Vayishlach, it talks about Abraham, the God of Abraham, but the fear of Isaac, representing the left column. So these code words, these phrase words, are very important to learn, and that's one of the major aspects of what the Zohar teaches us. But the Watchers, you're right, have this bad reputation or this difficult reputation. But and the Tali in the Sefer Yetzirah also, but it's not necessarily for an individual human who wants to do what he wants to do. They appear negative, but for the humanity as a whole, they're stopping people from taking humanity so far out of left field, out of the plan of creation, that the world would have to be destroyed. So that's obviously a good thing, because they're not letting it be destroyed.
Well, were the Watchers the ones that came and procreated with humans?
It's not clear. There are two names used, Azel and Azazel, that we talk about in the ritual of Yom Kippur. And it's not clear if they are Watchers or they're on a higher level. It's just not clear.
And it wouldn't have been all of them anyway.
No, I mean, the human species right now has 7.5 billion people. And the Watchers will probably have 7.5 billion people. Billion entities, watch individual Watchers. But then there's also the race of Michael, the race of the angel Michael. It's not just one angel. There are various components, various entities. Human, the equivalent of a human being is part of the species. It's all correct, but again, when it comes in, when Michael comes into our physical world to do a task that Hashem has sent him to do, he's picking one or more of these individual species, and he's giving them the task, and they come into this world, they take on the appearance of human, natural human things, and they affect the task that they've been given.
Okay. That clears everything up.
or as I like to say, it's not clear as mud.
Well, I have homework now.
Well, welcome to my classes.
It was a movie.
We're out of time.
About 3 weeks ago. Oh, okay.
We are out of time, I'm sorry, but we can continue this either on our Wednesday class, which I fell asleep last week and apologize, or you can do it. You can call me individually, if you want to pursue this discussion.
Okay.
There's a manuscript that was written by Rabbi Bar Sadok that talks about the UFOs and Torah. So, yeah, and a lot of his work with the what is the TV program? The
Ancient Aliens.
It'll come. Aliens, correct.
Yeah,
and he's been on many of their shows explaining this material as well.
Well, I listen to stuff, but I want to be able to identify something when I see it myself. Whether I'm in a different dimension or something from another dimension is hanging out here, I want to be able to know exactly what I'm dealing with.
Well, the first place I will direct you to look, the first place I will direct you to look is a book that Rabbi Bar Sadak wrote to protect you. It's called Protection from Evil. You can get it on Amazon. I recommended it to you before.
Yeah. Everyone in my family has that book. Because we've been down a fun road together as a family for some reason, and we even see things together as a family for some reason.
We'll leave that moving alone for now.
All right, and then you got invited to the trip.
I have
Welcome
my own notes, believe me.
Okay.
Shalom. Shalom to everyone. Shalom.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Shalom. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom.